Holy Mary, Mother of God, your child, the Son of God, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
We've been together now for 3 Sundays. And I'm not bored of you, but you might be bored of me. I am myself trying to recover this great meaning, this great season. I've often spent Christmas time fretting and running and really kind of involved with a lot of wonderful things, but not really spending the time. And so I have described for you Robert Wicks and that 30-day little exercise that he has, and what a difference that has meant to me this Advent, because his book, Streams of Contentment, talk about how we can come to that inner harmony, that more attentive way of living. And spending even 5 minutes, it only takes you 5 minutes to read that little day each day. It's such an extraordinary anchor for me in this time. I hope you found something. I've been encouraging and hoping and suggesting a variety of ways in which we can do that during this season, because like all of life, you know, it goes so quickly. And we can end up at the end of Christmas or the end of our lives saying, where did it go? You know, it's just this maze of things that continue to come at us. So even if you can just take some little step back in this week that is ahead and spend some little time reflecting on either a word, or there's so many little things that are out now about how to take hold of and embrace Advent. And I'd really encourage that, some little thought this week. And so I have a little prayer meditation that I'm going to reflect on with you tonight from this gospel. And I hope it will help you. I hope it will be some food for your journey in the week that's ahead. The gospel tonight is the gospel of John. This is the season of Mark, but John's gospel is tonight. And we have this precursor, this first person on the scene, beginning to awaken in the hearts of Israel this great longing, a longing that had been a part of their tradition and their generation all of their centuries. But somehow he's trying to reawaken this great Messiah, this great coming. Now, I've got to tell you, if I were John and I was out there and the crowds were growing and someone said to me, are you the Messiah? I'd probably say, well, let's talk about that for a few minutes. You know how we are? But John did not do that. John was bold in his statement. John said, no, I'm not. I'm not a prophet. I'm not Isaiah. I'm certainly not the Christ. Then he says this wonderful thing. This is what I'd like to hold up for you tonight and ask you to reflect on in this week. He says, there is one among you. You've yet to recognize him. So he's in the mix, but you don't know who it is. And he said, that is the person. That's the person. The long-awaited Christ, the one who will baptize in a way that I'm only beginning to understand. So here's the story. It's a story about a monastery that's in disrepair, not physically, but a monastery that has a troubled community. The monks are not talking to each other. There's no life or vitality left in the community. No one's coming to find any spiritual solace or recommendation or insight. I'm sure you've never experienced communities like that in your life. But that's what happened. The abbot of the monastery was greatly troubled. And so he prayed and he pondered over the situation and he admonished his fellow monks, please, try to renew your life, your spirit. Talk to each other. Pray with each other. But to no avail. Nothing happened. One day, he noticed that a rabbi who had lived close to the monastery for a long time in a little hut, and the rumor around the community was that this man had great wisdom, was walking once again in the woods. And so out of frustration and anxiety and fear and not knowing what to do, he went out and followed the rabbi. The rabbi who was once again in this wonderful state walking in the woods that surrounded that monastery. He walked behind the rabbi. And the rabbi turned. When he saw the abbot, and they both faced each other, they both began to weep. The abbot did not have to explain to the rabbi what was going on. He knew. And so they just wept together. Sadness. The horrible condition. This state that they found themselves in. And so the rabbit turned to the rabbi and said, good man, can you give me just some little advice? You're a holy man. Give me some direction. I'm nothing left. The monastery is in ruins. How can it thrive again? And the rabbi looked at the old abbot and said, one of you is the Messiah. And then just turned and continued his walk and literally walked away from the abbot. And so when the abbot returned to the monastery, the monks had seen the rabbi and the abbot talking, and so they said, what did he say? What wisdom did he share? One of us is the Messiah, the abbot said. Slowly, almost incredulously, the monks began once again to talk to each other. One of us. Which one? Is it Brother John? No, maybe it's Brother Andrew. No, maybe it's the abbot. Slowly, things began to change in the monastery. The monks began to look for the Messiah in each other. They began to listen to the words that each other spoke, hoping that they would hear the Messiah's voice. And then new monks began to join the order. And others came for solace and support and union with that monastery. And ever so slowly, it began to flourish again. Suppose I said to you tonight, one of you is the Messiah. What would you do? Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. would our lives be different? I just believe that that's so much at the heart of our Christian walk. I think it's so much at the heart of this community of faith. I think it's so much at the core belief of this great season. Yes, we anticipate and we look forward to, and we'll bring in baby Jesus. He's going to walk right down this little aisle in someone's hands, and we'll put him in this little creche, and we'll sing Silent Night, and it will be wonderful. But my brothers and sisters, Messiah is here. He is in us. But we're not attentive. We don't listen. We don't look and see. I'm so privileged as your pastor. Tonight I'm going to a beautiful celebration with some people who've come to Africa with me over these last 8 years, and then last year by themselves. Be able to celebrate a little Christmas celebration with them, and they'll talk about that great land and these wonderful people, and I will see Christ there. Christ is manifest. It's alive. It's alive in the care that they have with this garbage dump in the city of the poorest section of the poorest part of this world, because they've been touched by people who are believers, who believe with all their heart that the Messiah is there with them every step of the way. They have great trust, great confidence. One of them said to me, "You know, Monsignor, I used to believe and have great confidence in myself and faith in God, but I've changed. I now have great confidence in God and faith in myself." Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is. And then our gay and lesbian community are going to El Cholo tonight. I haven't paid my dinner yet, but I'm going. And to sit and to celebrate that with these men and women. Men and women who've come to this community of faith and believe in the fact that they are welcomed and loved and supported on their journeys of life and faith. Christ is there. Christ is there in their lives and in our lives and in all of the walks of our lives. And so, my sisters and brothers, we need to take this time to recover this great sense of this wonderful season. And not wait until Christmas night after two glasses of wine and we've got a little buzz. But now, when we're cold sober in this third week of Advent, yes, to recognize one of us, the Messiah. John Shea ends his remarks with this thought. He said, "I loved that story and stumbled upon a poem by Hyphus. And I knew exactly what it meant because I had prayed over that story. The poem is entitled, 'How Do I Listen?' How do I listen?" This is what the poem says. "How do I listen to others as if everyone were my master? As if everyone were my master, speaking to me his cherished last words." Oh, how about that? Would we have a better day if that is how we listen, pray, received each other? We've got some time, my brothers and sisters. We have some time.